a high rise saying Hamas is in the building. He's killing this kind of stuff. And to me, that's just, what do you call it? What do you call it when you demoing? Okay, we're going to demo this building. It's just demoing.
Well, you know what? You made a good point, because what we're looking at is settler colonialism. When they came to Australia and the Aborigines, what they do, you know what I mean? When they came here and there's or Canada and there's all these Native Americans here, what did they do? You know, when the settler colonialists come in, there's only one or two things you can do. Either you can subjugate the indigenous people or you can wipe them out through ethnic cleansing. And what we're seeing right now, you know, America always act like that was the past. Oh, what we did with the Native Americans, you know, that was way back then. We're different now. Well, we're seeing just how different America is, ain't it? Ain't nothing different about that.
Trump will have a hotel on the Gaza Strip.
Yep. You know, the other part of it is, meanwhile, we got all these members of Congress, the cat got their tongue. They don't have nothing to say. And when you look at it, they're getting the Republican Democrat, they're getting all this money from AIPAC. You know, we're just regular old common people here. We're regular people. There's not enough money you could give me to condone the slaughter of men, women, and children like dogs. I don't get, you know, what kind of lack of soul, what kind of lack of humanity do you have that you can even be bought out to support something like that?
How do you give people blankets with that poison on it? What was that back disease?
Smallpox.
Smallpox. They give it to the Indians, and the Indians teaching them how to live off the land.
Yep. And what did they do to pay
them
back?
Grow this and grow that. When they get them, in return, they give them blankets with smallpox. Wipe out a whole village.
So, you know, things,
I don't like the way they did it and doing it, but that's the way they've been doing it for years. It's not nothing new.
No, you're correct. Well, thank you very much, certainly.
Thank you for the longest conversation I've ever had with you, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it. So, and you know, to the numbers 202-588-0893. And you know, I feel guilty. You know, like if I'm like, okay, you know, the people are in Washington, D.C. and they're, you know, troops in D.C. I feel bad about that. I feel upset about that. I feel I should say something about that, right? Certainly. I mean, it's terrible in people in D.C., but I feel guilty talking about it, to be honest with you. You know, when I see what's happening to the Palestinians, I feel guilty complaining about anything. What am I going to complain about? I'm being inconvenienced. Okay, fair enough. The police are in the street and I don't like it and I feel like that's fascism. Fair enough. I mean, I understand the people. I understand. And I agree with anybody who's pushing back against that. You should be demonstrating. You should do everything. I'm just saying me. I don't even know how to do it anymore. I don't even know how to complain about anything anymore. I feel guilty griping about anything. I'm like, what I'm watching is there are no words. You know what you see. You know what you feel. And I feel like this. The political elite, there's going to be a price to pay for this. People are not going to just say, okay, now don't get me wrong. There's some brainwashed people that will forget it the day it happened. And sadly, as a black person, I feel bad that there's black folks that aren't awake enough to say, you know what? They do it to me right now if they needed to, if I was in the way of their money. You know, if they found oil in Southeast DC, and it was some black folks there that didn't want to get out of the way. You are mistaken if you think that if worse came to worse. You remember the MOVE thing in, it was MOVE. Look it up. It was in Philadelphia. And it was just a small movement of people who were, you know, they were a black, I guess you call them a radical group that was pushing back against the system, that was unhappy with oppression, things of that nature. They threw a bomb and burnt down like six straight blocks to get them. Six blocks, killed men, women, and children, was involved in that same thing. And you know what I remember? They found in the rubble, and they like burned down six blocks. They found a revolver in the rubble and said, right there, we have a gun. How do you even know it was in the same building? You burnt down six blocks. But They didn't care about those folks. It was in a black neighborhood, what have you. So if the, you know, black folks that think that they wouldn't do that to them, that our government wouldn't do that to you, you need to push back and fight back, because I feel like this, if they'll do that, period, they'll do it to anybody, including me. And we need to stand up against that. We're talking about Gaza. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? You're on the air. Next caller.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, what's that? This is Mike from Southeast, brother.
All right, Mike. We're talking about Gaza today. Your thoughts?
You know, first of all, before I get into that, I want to thank you on behalf of the regular callers that call in on your show. I want to thank you for giving us a public platform to be able to voice our opinion and how we feel, you know, whether how this country is going or these crazy elected officials. First of all, I want to thank you for doing that. And also, I want to ask you, there was one caller I haven't heard from in years, and she inspired me to call your show, and that was Vivian. Have you heard from her?
Haven't heard from her in a while, I don't think. But Vivian was, yes, I remember Vivian. She was great.
Yeah, and if you're listening, Vivian, I'm calling to do a checkup on you. Please call in, because you inspired me to call in on this show, because I didn't call in. I was listening to you for almost 2 years before I even decided to call in on your show. So, you know, I was a huge Vivian fan. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, I wanted to thank you for giving us the public platform, for giving us the chance to voice our opinion. Now, I'm listening to you talking about the gods and the situation over there. Yeah, you know, if it wasn't money to be made over there, they wouldn't be interested going over there. Everything is about money. I keep saying, in order to beat the system, you got to play the system. If you want to do the same thing over and over again and talk about organized, it's not going to work. You dumped that for many years. They're not going to listen. The best thing that you have to do is vote these greedy elected officials out of office. But as long as you still playing the Democrat versus Republican Party show, that's never going to work. They fight in public and party behind the scenes. And, you know, the thing with the Gaza situation, and yes, I am worried about the black children over here in this country with those troops going out, because now it's going to be open warfare to lock up more and more little black kids. And we in the black community, we've got to come up with a program to get these children to stop being a target, going out, breaking the law, doing things to get the attention, get themselves locked up. That's what I'm concerned about. But when it comes towards the politics that you talk about, everything is around money. And if you don't have the money, they're not listening unless you change the system. That's the only way that's going to work. So peace, brother. Continue listening to your show. And thank you for once again giving us regular callers the opportunity to call in on your show. Peace, brother.
You know, thank you very much. That's what our WPFW is about, really. You know, you can listen to MSNBC or CNN or Fox or whatever. Here's a hint. You're being lied to if you listen to them, but that's your choice. But you know what? You're not going to get any input there. They're not open to phones. They're going to tell you just the opposite. They're going to tell you, shut up and listen. And we certainly appreciate you being a part of the conversation. People need to vent. And, you know, everybody, we learn from our callers. So we're talking about Gaza. There was certainly the killing of Hind Rajab film that came out. And, you know, what we're seeing is things that are heart wrenching. We're seeing things that people who have a heart, let's start there, people who have a conscience, people who have some humanity are broken over this, are hurt, are crushed over this, right? To see this, the horror of what we're seeing now, then we have our government. And then we have some people, you know, in our community, sadly, who can make excuses for that. And there's going to be a price to pay. That's all I'm saying. You think this is okay? You know, the bills come and due for this, and the ruling elite, the political elite, they're stumbling around. They don't know what to do. It's going to be a price to pay. I just believe that one way or the other. I don't think this is going to go unpunished. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
Hey, Garland. What's going on? It's Max.
Max. We're talking Gaza tonight. What's happening, Max?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty bad. I mean, it seems like us being involved, you know, it's so much of it is just, it seems like it's just money and politics. I know people in my own community will kind of like rail on me for this, but sometimes, because I know when Biden first took office, Israel, they raided a mosque. The IDF raided a mosque, I think, and it's like a mosque that's right on the borderline. And I've heard like weird sick stories that like the super Zionists, they have like these sick beliefs that if like they destroy the mosque and rebuild the final synagogue, that some type of rapture is going to like take place. It's like some
you're talking about the Al-Aqsa Mosque and this red heifer that they're trying to. It's just really twisted and demented stuff. You know, let me throw this at you, Max. The whole idea, even the Christian Zionists, that you have to commit a genocide, right? The Christian Zionists that like. This has to happen. And then they're supporting Israel. Why? Because the Christian Zionists then believe that like, Israel would be rebuilt, and then the Jews will have to decide whether they want to become Christians. And of course, then they'll be, then the Jews that will then be genocided. So I guess you got to genocide the Palestinians, and then God comes back and he genocides the Jews. And then we get the return of the Prince of Peace. The whole thing's twisted that we can make excuses and come up with religious beliefs that sounds like the Middle Ages, that you got an excuse for machine gunning men, women, and children.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they're violating the Geneva Convention. It's just dreadful, and it will hurt America. It's gonna hurt the world. The more we just stay involved in it, the more America can't even hide behind this idea. We've always been an imperial country, and there's a lot of evidence to prove that. But I just think like eventually it's gonna lead to like a more global, like what do you think? What are your predictions on how like globally this is gonna evolve into like bigger wars that will event and how this could domestically even implicate Americans, and just how we're gonna be viewed on the global stage.
I hope it doesn't devolve into World War III or something, because then we're all doomed because there's nuclear weapons out there. But I do think that one of the things that's going to happen, that's coming, and that is, people are going to stop buying American goods and Israeli goods. I think in the long run, people are going to be boycotting us. People are going to go in a different direction. They're not going to want to come here. People, we're going to become, people are saying Israel's going to become a pariah state. The United States is becoming a pariah state also. So you get the last word. I got a couple more callers. Last word, Max.
What is a pariah state?
Just, like an evil state that nobody likes, the bad guy out there that everybody hates and wants to avoid.
Yeah, we probably, I mean, Israel is definitely turning into that. And yeah, United States is most definitely on its way to being that as well. So I agree with you. I agree.
Yeah, it's kind of like a social outcast or something. Anyway, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. All right, we're talking about Gaza tonight as best we can. My gosh, it's been going on for this long. I think Israel's going to fall apart because Israel's nothing now but a war machine. If you're an Israeli citizen, what you're in? You're in a war machine. You don't have a real economy. Everything, the world hates you. The funny thing is, I was thinking the other day, and I'm just a regular old person. And the last, you couldn't get any further from being a racist than me, right? And I just thought to myself, if somebody like sat down at a table next to me and says, "Oh yeah, how you doing, Garland? Yeah, where you from?" And they said, "I'm from Israel," I get up and walk away. I just couldn't even. I wouldn't even want to ask them, because if I ask them, "Do you support that?" they might answer it. And if they said the wrong thing, I'd probably fly into a rage. I couldn't sit there, and that's where I am. And I'm just a regular old person. I'm not some kind of whatever you want to call it. I don't care what you call me, but that's how I feel, And you know what? If they were some white Christian, black Christian, whatever, a person who was a, pro-Zionist, as they say, I wouldn't care what religion or race they were. I just can't even find myself associating anymore with people, who support such an outrageous fascist ideology. It's horrible and shouldn't be allowed to, you know, should not be allowed to exist in this world, in my opinion. If somebody asked me, should Israel be able to exist? Fascist states should not be allowed to exist. Fascism needs to be wiped out. So the world, absolutely not. It shouldn't be allowed to exist. That's my position. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is T-Bird from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. How you doing?
Oh, wonderful. What's happening there, T-Bird?
Well, I don't have a lot of gloom as much as you do, because I think what you're saying is correct. But I think one thing I have to say, the United States and the colonial powers are dying.
Yes.
Socially, intellectually, morally, and financially. And I think mm-hmm. that we'll have a different world because of that, except that maybe they can't stand that. I've learned a lot from, the Israeli, studying the Israeli thing. I mean, I did not really realize until the Howard University professor came back and wrote his book that it was such an apartheid state. I did mm-hmm. not realize until this conflict went on that Israel, a lot of the Israelis from Africa and were sterilized when they yes. tried to come into Israel. I did not realize just how much money and for how long they have been doing it. I did not realize that the genocide in Israel really started in 1948 when and everybody in Gaza is a refugee who has had their land and home stolen, just like the American Indians had their stuff stolen, and they were put into little prison concentration camps that they later called reservations. That's the same thing with Israel. But unlike us, Israel decided to put a barricade against them mm-hmm. working in their own country, fishing off their own shores, traveling to see their relatives in the West Bank or any other place, Jordan or anything else, any place else. You had to get permission to get chocolates and other things in Israel. It's an apartheid state, worse than the Jim Crow, maybe not worse. I mean, one thing I will say, being an older person, I remember segregation, and I remember coming up here to Washington where I had to, or going beyond Washington, where I had to get off at Union Station or just before Union Station and get into the special cars. And despite people saying that you got to be rough and tough, the rough and tough people did not get me to have integrated hotels where I could stop and sleep in if I'm driving to Oklahoma or wherever. They did not fix it so I could get a bite to eat on travel. I still had to, for a three-day trip, have an awful lot of food I had to take with me. They did not get me in such a state where the police caught me, sir, and whatever. But it's the same thing in Israel now, and they have it worse because they're just murdering. They don't need their labor, so they're just murdering them, and they want their land, whatever their excuse is. They're not, they're Europeans, they're not Semites. Semites as means half. Half black and half white, if you want to get down to it. And these are not Semites doing the murdering. This is a colonial, racist colonial, and everybody leaves out the race factor in this. And the racists have been doing this. The United States took over leadership of the racists after World War II, and they're trying to get rid of anything that can stand in the way of racist white domination of the world, which they already have. So we're a Nazi-like power. Israel is our puppet, or our military people who carry it out for us in this particular area. If you follow the money in Sudan, the Arab country in Sudan that supplies that is, which is another genocide going on in this area, is supplied by the United States and has things with oil and other things with the Western countries, and so do all these other Western leaders. So I'm ashamed of black leaders, because we had about 13 in my growing years, and now they got about 60, and about 60 of them are accepting money from Israel, which is or through AIPAC, which is a shame, definitely a shame, and maybe they need to be held accountable also, if you ask me. I don't know. I definitely think that.
Well, look, let me read this to you. Here's an example. After five, this is February 7th, 2013. After 5 years of denials, Israeli government officials have admitted to targeting Ethiopian Jewish immigrant women with long-acting contraceptive injections without their consent. Most of the women were either coerced into accepting the injections while living in Israeli-run transit camps in Ethiopia, or were unaware that the injections produced temporary sterilization. After arriving in Israel, Ethiopian immigrants still received injections in disproportionate numbers. So the bottom line is this, you know, when Black Jews, Ethiopian Jews, but they were Black, that was their error, came to Israel, they deliberately sterilized them so they couldn't have children. That's what Israeli did. So it's not just about the Palestinians, and it's not just about whether or not you were Jewish. These Ethiopian women were Jewish, Ethiopian Jews, some of the original Jews, but they were Black. And that's what it came down to. And you know, that's what it was all about. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Garland. This is Pam calling from D.C. How are you?
Wonderful. Great to hear from you, Pam.
You know, I stood in solidarity in January with the Palestinians when they marched here in D.C. And it was the birthday of Martin Luther King when we were marching and gathering. And, you know, when I talk to Black people about what's going on in Palestine, it's like, you know, just total, I guess, ambivalence, for lack of a better word. But like you said earlier in the show, if they did this to them, we better believe that they'll do it to us.
Absolutely.
Hello.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, look, the United States, when they went and they went and took Black people from Africa, it was labor. They just stole free labor. They didn't see human beings. No, it was labor. They didn't treat them like human beings. They treated them like free labor. They've already genocided Black folks. What percentage of them even made it? They put them on ships and half or most of them died on the ships on the way across. So the genocide, it wouldn't be the first time. You know, look, if the Black folks was experimented on. The Tuskegee experiment, medical experiments, treated Black folks like they weren't even animals. And a lot of people don't know it. They did the same thing in Guatemala with Guatemalan peasants. So here you're looking at a country that is genocided people. We talk about, oh, yes, the Nazis were so terrible. They did experiments The United States did it on their own people, Black folks. But Black people, they didn't consider us citizens. So I guess they just figured we're not considered people the same way the Israelis don't consider the Palestinians people.
Right. And that's the gist of it. They don't see certain people as human beings. And therefore, you know, they have the cognitive dissonance where they don't have any type of relationship to them as human beings. And therefore, like you talked about earlier, the little child that was killed, they don't see her as a little child. So, you know, consequently, they can just murder. But one part I don't understand, Garland, help me with this, is, you know, what happened after, you know, during the Holocaust? And these people, you know, genocide was committed upon them, you know, wholesale, you know. But now they turn around and do it to the Palestinians. Help me. I can't wrap my mind around that part of it. Help me with that.
The sad thing is, not only do they do it, they do exactly what was done to them. And add this, you know, the Europeans, like for thousands of years, they killed Jews. They treated Jews terrible for thousands of years. By the time they got to the Holocaust, they had been doing that for thousands of years. But did the Europeans say the Germans did that? So we're going to give the Jewish people a part of Germany that they can have. Because Germans did it. Give them a part of Germany. No, they didn't. They said, we're going to move you over here. where the Muslim people are, and they had been living amongst the Muslims in peace. Did the Muslims in just peace. Hate Jews? Yep. No, the Muslims hate colonialism. They came over there and they said, okay, we're going to take your land. We're going to take your homes. The Muslims were angry not because they were Jews. There were Jews living there. You know, the largest number of Jews in the Middle East are in Iran, and they live happily and peacefully in Iran.
Right.
But
and
you know what?
For thousands of years living in harmony with one another. Yeah.
You know, so now we see this, and that's what the Muslims are mad about. It's colonialism. That's what they've always been mad about. How would you feel if somebody came to your neighborhood and said, get out? Why? Because somebody else is going to live in your house. It's their house now. You have to leave. We're going to put you in a refugee camp or something. Well, and you think they wouldn't be mad, and then they kill them, and then they shoot them. And look now, this is genocide, and they say it. They say, they literally say they're going to commit genocide, and the United States protects it. And what? You know who I'm angriest at, to be frank with you? I'm angry at black politicians. How do black politicians, how do these black politicians keep their mouth shut when this is going on? I couldn't be a part. I'd have to resign. Go ahead.
Yeah, and because, you know, there's a saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You know, so that's it. They're the politicians, they're puppets. They're just, you know, dancing to the tune of these oligarchs and rich people and whatever they say they do. You know, and ironically, you know, right here in D.C. with the gentrification, you know, you spoke about, you know, how would you feel? Well, they tried to take our home for taxes. Fortunately, we had all of our papers in order and they weren't able to do it here in D.C. And we live in a community where when we moved in, we were like the third black family to move into the neighborhood. And they white flight, they fled. I mean, they left that neighborhood in droves. But now they're coming back. They can't believe they ever left that nice neighborhood. But because we were moving in, I mean, they fled, you know, white flight. Mm. So, I mean, it happens on many levels right here, right now in our lifetime. Like you spoke about the move where they bombed those people right in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
you know. And also in Colorado, I can't remember the name of the group of people in Colorado who they bombed the children in the...
How about Tulsa? Do you know what happened there with Black Wall Street? So what's happened here? Rosewood? It has happened here where black folks was attacked just for being successful or just for being black in the wrong place and slaughtered in great numbers. And we tend to think, oh, well, that was a long time ago. That couldn't happen today. Yeah, well, you know what happened to the Native Americans a long time ago, and you thought it couldn't happen again today, and look at what's happening to the Palestinians right in front of us. And they don't care what we think. Neither of these parties care what we think.
No, not at all. And one more point is, after the Second World War, United States actually embraced some of those Nazi people, brought them over here, and you know, put them in the NASA program where they got good jobs and all of that. You know, and they were some of the perpetrators of the genocide and the Holocaust. So, like you said, they don't care. The United States has never been in opposition to that sort of brutality and horrific atrocities committed against certain people. As a matter of fact, the Nazis mirrored some of the things that were going on here in America in terms of, you know, the sterilization and the, you know, this outright murder and massacre here in the United States. So, you know, they have...
Many of them said it. There, many of the Nazis said that they patterned themselves after what happened in the Jim Crow South. All right. Thank you very much. Yeah. The number's 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
Hey, Garland. How you doing? It's Marvin from Fort Washington.
Talk to me, Marvin. What's happening?
You know, we have never had really, I mean, I've been a supporter of PFW since 1981, and just... the majority of the hosts on PFW has been amazing. The Dorothy Healy's, the Nkechi Torres, and Ambrose Lane. You know, but we don't have, there's never been, I mean, Jay Winter Nightwolf, I appreciate him very much, Tim Kaine, but still, it hasn't been enough said about the genocide of the indigenous people of this land. Over 118 million people were annihilated in this land. Okay. And, you know, what's going on today is what's been going on for a long time in this country. And Malcolm X said, until we have a bloodless revolution, history is going to keep repeating itself because we're not meeting the resistance where it is. Okay. Until we, you know, we can do all this protesting and I'm out in the streets in DC. I work in public safety. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm here educating the kids on a university here where I work at. Okay. But to meet resistance, that 60 sit in stuff would never work in this day and time. You see the way you're snatching people up, snatching women, snatching kids up, shooting kids at the borders. I mean, it just over 1,000 killings of black men and women every year. The fastest growing incarceration rate is black women in this country. And they're constantly building more and more ICE detention camps because they have a plan. They have a plan. But do we have a plan? Do we have a plan? We are just, a lot of us, I don't even like football no more. I don't want to watch it. I haven't watched my TV in 3 months, okay? Because, and I'm sick of a lot of our people, black people in this country, are so complacent. Like, everything is going on right now has nothing to do with them personally. Okay? I can't even get people to listen to programs on WPFW, okay? And when they do this, oh, man, I've been missing this for a long time. I mean, what are the solutions, Garland? The old solutions will never work, okay? Mm-hmm. The old solutions will never work, Garland. Have a good weekend.
Thank you very much. All right, thank next caller on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, you are on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Garland, how are you? Oh, thank God.
Great.
Keep up what you're doing, brother. Keep up what you're doing, but let the people speak. Charles calling from Southeast. I disagree with the brother that the tactics that we used in the past will not work. Those tactics must be employed because at that level, they were successful. There will be many of us who will be ready and prepared to go to higher levels and higher levels than that. Our vision must be to eradicate this inhumanity wherever it exists. And we can see it. Gaza, yeah. South Africa, Southeast Washington, D.C., which is where I'm calling from, and PFW, Voices for Vision, one day at a time.
Thank you, will succeed.
Thank you, Garland.
Thank you. If I could add a footnote,
I have looked back at the history of civilization from 3,000 years before the Christian era, and you will see the same exact thing you see today. You see it.
Yeah. Give us
some of that.
Yeah.
I'm in a process now where I can't look at that fully, but you seem to have a wealth of knowledge about that. And I would just like for you to speak on that. The 3,000 years before the Common Era and the things and in personalities and individuals, institutions, if you will, ideas that we see
Well, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate the call. Got another next caller. We appreciate your time. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from? Oh, I guess we lost that caller. Do we have another caller? Is that it? Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from? Struggling to get the callers through here. Next caller, you on the air? I guess maybe. Okay, no problem. Okay, we got no more calls. Yeah, it's very difficult, you know. I was looking the other day, you know, the percentage of people who breaking into categories, the percentage of people who support, you know, Israel's military actions in Gaza, and Democrats under 30, it's virtually zero. It's virtually zero. You know, it's within the margin of error. And I thought, man, that ain't sustainable in politics. It's not sustainable to be involved in something so outlandish that it infuriates your people. You know, the Republicans, I would expect them. It doesn't surprise me. I'm glad to see that more and more Republicans are starting to, you know, wake up to how horrible this is. But I don't have a great expectation that the Republican Party and members of the Republican Party going to do the right thing in the first place. But as a person who is a recovering Democrat, you know, I would expect that if you're going to say you're looking out for people, you're thinking about the little guy or what have you, that just such an obvious thing. I think a lot of people are like me. I'm a traumatized person. There's no question in my mind I'm traumatized. I probably need therapy because, you know, I'm online and I read a lot. And when I see this Hind Rajab thing, and I read all about this stuff, I almost couldn't handle it, you know? And I read story after story, you know, I'm reading this thing. Don't watch it. I'm telling you, I always want to say to people, this killing Hind Rajab, it could just wreck your life if you watch it. Because literally, you have a little girl saying, I don't want to talk because she's been shot, of course. Every time I talk, blood comes out of my mouth. And I don't, my mother's going to have to wash my shirt because there's blood all over my shirt. Because every time I talk, blood comes out of my mouth. This is a 5-year-old girl. This is a 5-year-old girl saying that. And you know what the Israelis did? They approved an ambulance to come get her. They gave the ambulance the route and said, drive down this road and turn here and go there and pick her up. And when the ambulance got there, they machine gunned everybody in the ambulance and killed them. And then they machine gunned that little 5-year-old girl and killed her too. And you wonder why I say I'm traumatized by this stuff?
That is it for News and Views. Garland Nixon will be back on next week. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you next week.
Busboys and Poets celebrates two decades of delicious food, vibrant culture, and impactful activism with Busboys and Poets during a month-long celebration. 20th anniversary events kick off Sunday, September 7th, featuring specials on brunch and books at all DMV locations. That evening, the 14th and V location host founder Andy Shalal and Amy Goodwin in conversations discussing Andy's new memoir, A Seat at the Table, The Making of Busboys and Poets. Details about the month-long festivities at busboysandpoets.com/busboys20.
WPFW presents Genius plus Soul equals Ray and John. Tuesday, September 23rd, 5 a.m. until midnight.